2:38, and our church is built on Acts 2:38, and the church is built on Acts 2:38. But how often does Brother Rob preach from Acts 2:38? And the Lord's like, you know, you need to go back into that. And I know it's been said, and I know it's been preached time and time and time again, but I want you to preach it. And I want you to preach it right now. That's okay. So I'm back. We're back in the old, we're back to the beginning. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Everybody say baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. For the promise is for you. Look at your neighbor and point your finger at him and say, it's for you. And it's for your children. And for all who are far off. Everyone who the Lord our God calls to himself. And who's God calling to himself? And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And so, those who received his word were baptized. Everybody say, baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Lord God, we pray. Of this anointing to preach.
Oh, thank you.
To go forth in a way that is helpful and encouraging and challenging, that leads us to open our hearts to your presence so that you can change us and transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week I started this passage in Acts, and we talked about the hardest, simplest thing. And I realized in our Bible class today that I should have called it the hardest, simplest, best thing that you'll ever do. And Peter's preaching brought a crushing weight of conviction on these religious people, and they cried out, what shall we do? And Peter's first command to them was repent. Because conviction is designed to lead to confession. God never puts anything on you that he's not intending to use to get you to where he's trying to get you. God sends upheaval and turmoil because he's trying to get you from here to here. And how many of you know that when you're trying to get from here to here, your heart's going to beat a little bit harder and your muscles are going to scream a little bit louder? Conviction is designed to lead to confession. And they came face to face with the evil deed they had done. They had allowed and participated in the crucifixion of their Savior, Jesus. And in addition to facing what they had done, they had to face the reality of who they were. We need to repent a little less about what we did, and repent a little more about who we are. Because if we wasn't who we was, we wouldn't have done what we did. I mean, what kind of person would willingly and blindly go along with the crucifixion of an innocent man? What kind of demented person would be so blind as to be oblivious to their own prophesied Messiah? Pretty shocking when you realize how bad you really are. And this conviction was too much to bear, and their deed was impossible to reverse. And so they needed divine direction. And lucky for us, Jesus said to Peter, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. And we turned one of those keys in the door last week. Hallelujah. And so Peter gave them 3 divine directives. The first was to repent, to confess. And this is the first step in the process of salvation. But salvation is not just confession. Next, Peter directed them to be baptized. The first step in salvation is conviction leading to repentance. But the second step in salvation is confession leading to commitment. Because confession without commitment is counterfeit.
That's right.
What good does it do anyone? What good does it do you? If you own up to your mistakes and admit that you are the little rascal that you are, but have no intention of doing any different or becoming a better person going forward. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now. Hallelujah. You know that when Brother Rob preaches and the anointing's on and the material's just right, that it's going to be a little bit singy. And you're going to feel a little cringy. And I'm going to get down on your shoes and stomp on your toes a little bit. And I can just feel that kind of spirit on here today. I'm not trying to talk down to you. Amen. But God's got something to say to us, to the church.
Amen.
Confession without commitment is like a dog eating its own vomit. It's like a pig who gets a good scrub down only to immediately roll back in the mud and muck. You know how to clean a pig, don't you?
Yeah.
I've told you this before, with a bucket of hogwash. And that's what repentance without baptism is. That's what confession without commitment is. It's a bunch of hogwash. You little piglet. Go roll in your filth. You little mutt. Go eat your own bonbon before it gets cold. I don't know. I just write it, Brother Philip. I don't know. I take credit for some of it, but some of it... People say you can't do anything to earn salvation. I need to get in a hurry here. And that is true, but it's also true that you cannot be saved without doing something.
That's right.
You cannot do anything to earn salvation, but you cannot be saved without doing something.
All right,
man. Amen.
And it's not what you do that saves you, rather it's what God does.
Amen.
You can't even repent without God.
All right.
It wasn't your idea. The conviction didn't come from you. God sent a preacher to preach the truth to you. God sent His Holy Spirit down on you and His long suffering on you and His grace that leads you to repentance.
Yes.
God calls us. His love and His grace overshadow us. Grace is the basis, but our response is crucial to completing this holy transaction. Our response to His grace is what clinches the deal.
Amen.
Got it.
Well, I've been taught that you don't need to be baptized to be saved. Well, hallelujah, that's nice. Do you want a gold star sticker for that? Maybe read your Bible? Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. There is no salvation without confession. And there is no true confession without commitment. Baptism is absolutely, unequivocally essential to our salvation. A baptism in the Greek means to be immersed. It means to be fully whelmed or dipped in water. It means to go under and be completely wet. It means soaked to the gills. Every orifice, every square inch of our bodies completely buried. Peter said, repent and be baptized.
Amen.
We were laughing at the Thanksgiving preparation at Feed My Sheep. Sister Lois had this big 500-gallon pot full of broth and boxes of Idahoan mashed potatoes, and they brought that over and put it on a wooden platform, and then Brother Philip got out a jackhammer and shoved it down in that thing, and I've never seen that many pounds and gallons of mashed potatoes made so fast. And you know how he did it? He did it with an immersion blender. Hallelujah. Not a beater, but an immersion blender. When you get serious, you get out the big guns. And so, what did all of these people do when Peter preached this to them? It says, all who believed Peter's words were immediately baptized. Over 3,000 folks became believers that day. Well, they say, well, can I just be sprinkled? I might run out of Gold Star before I get done with the sermon today. There is a Greek word that is used in the Bible, and guess what it means? Sprinkle. But that word is never used when speaking about the rite of baptism. The word is always baptizo. And it means what? To immerse. Modern day Christians just want to be sprinkled with a little bit of Jesus. Modern day Christians just want to dip their toe in the waters of baptism. Modern quote unquote believers want some special circumstances that would excuse them from making a total commitment to Jesus Christ. I told you, Brother Gilbert preached my sermon. The first thing he did when he opened up his mouth, he didn't want to get there. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman thought he could get by without baptism. He had a skin disease, and the prophet Elijah told him, go dip yourself. Go baptize yourself in the Jordan River. And Naaman was really bent out of shape. And he wanted Elisha to come out and call on the name of God and wave his hand over the skin disease, and he would be healed. But that's not how it works. You've got to call on the name of God for yourself. You've got to humble down and be fully immersed. And Elisha refused, and he told Naaman, go baptize yourself in the Jordan River, buddy, not just once, but seven times. I think there's some people, some of us, including myself, that can stand to be humble. Some of us can stand to have more than one baptism. Boom, 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 boom. I heard some laughing in the congregation there. You ready to go down a couple more times? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Baptism is not some cute rite. It's not something inflicted on unsuspecting infants. Baptism is a commitment made by people who are fully aware and who are ready to give it all to God.
Yes.
God is not looking for people who only want a touch. God is not looking for people who only want a little prayer answered. God is looking for people who are absolutely, totally in love with Him. God is looking for people who pray to Him first thing when they wake up. He's looking for people who talk to Him while they're going about their day. He's looking for people who will meditate on His Word day and night, and who pray to Him last thing they do before bedding down in the evenings. God is looking for people who are ready to give it all to Him, body, mind, heart, and soul.
Yeah.
Amen.
Part-time Christianity isn't an effective balm. It's not a medicine you use when you're sick. It's not to be employed on an as-needed basis. You're either all in or you're not in at all. And that's what baptism is about. It's about getting down and serious with God. Because when your body goes down, everything goes down with it. When your body goes down, your mind goes down. And all your thoughts are immersed in Jesus, and you receive the mind of Christ. When your body goes down, your heart goes down too. God takes care of the heart of stone out of us, and He cuts away the foreskins of our heart. He removes that old lustful carnal nature. He writes His laws on our hearts. He gives us new hearts. And when we go down in the waters of baptism, our souls and our spirits go down. All of us, everything is given over to Him. And when you go down in the waters of baptism, your body goes down.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Your old addictions go down. Your old habits go down. All the things you used to do to please your body go down and are buried with Jesus in those waters of baptism. Baptism is our commitment to God forever. It's showing him that there's nothing too hard. There's nothing too embarrassing. There's nothing that we would not be willing to do. Brother Gilbert said, if you feel like it, hallelujah, you can dance a little bit. If you feel like it, you can jump a little bit. If you feel like it, you can shout, hallelujah. If you feel like it, you can speak in tongues. He said, if you feel like it, you can run around the church a little bit. Because I am 100% committed to Jesus. There is nothing that I'm afraid of. Nothing that I'm not willing to do. To show God how much I love Him. There's nothing too hard. Not looking for just any kind of baptism or commitment. Peter said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because the only effective baptism is being buried with Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Paul told the church in his letters to the church in Colossae in chapter 2 verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Well, Brother Rabbi, I was taught you should be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Maybe read your Bible a little more.
Say it.
A lot of gold stars. Are you more committed to what you were told, or are you more committed to what God's Word actually says?
Amen.
Was anyone in the Bible ever baptized using a triune formula, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
No.
Show me. I'll give you $1,000 and I will quit and resign this church and I'll go down there and join the one of the Trinity churches in town. You show me in the Bible where anybody was baptized that way and I will change my life forever from here on out. I'm not some UPCI Pentecostal zealot, but I am a zealot for my God. Amen. The Father didn't die.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you.
It says in Matthew 28:18, which is conveniently left out of most conversations about what Jesus said concerning this quote-unquote triune baptismal invocation. And you forgive me for getting excited today, but I have studied it out for 35 years. I have read every paper and doctrine that I can find on Trinity, on triune, on Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I read everything on Jesus, and no matter how many ways I twist it and turn it, I cannot get away from it. And God is like, when I became pastor of this church, I had a brand new name picked out that I was going to put on the facade outside, and I was going to update and upgrade the Jesus name Pentecostal Church. And I had it all designed and figured out, business cards all arranged, and I'm sitting there at the computer getting all fancy, amen, and like, oh man, I can't wait to be pastor. I'm going to put a name on that church, and I'm going to make it something. And then the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear, what's wrong with the old name?
Right.
You know what I said? Anything wrong with the old name?
That's right.
I guess it'll stay up there. Can I change the color of it from black? Can I redesign it? And so I took out the name that was there and I put Jesus' name in there, and it looked just as good. Hallelujah. But they leave us out when they tell you about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They don't read Matthew 28:18. And Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You've got to understand Jesus. He is the most humble man that has ever walked the face of the planet. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. He is, the Bible, Moses said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me. And the Bible says Moses was the meekest man on the earth. There was nobody more humble than Jesus. He never said, I did this. Look what I did. Look what I said. Look what I caused. He never ever said that. He said, as the Father has spoken to me, I speak. As the Father has shown me, so I do.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
See, so he's in a precarious position, Brother Stacy. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I need to hurry up. And the authority of God, the power of God, rests in the only saving name of Jesus. And that's not what I'm here to preach today. But you know, I got to cover the bases before I get to home plate, right? And immediately following this authority declaration, Jesus gave them further commandment in Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Everybody say baptizing them. Baptizing them in the name. Everybody say the name.
Amen.
The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus clearly commands them to baptize, to fully bury them in water in the name. What is the name? The only saving name. The only name whereby we can be saved. It's the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Yes, but I think we should listen to what Jesus said there and not what Peter said in Acts chapter 2. Really? Can you not see it? Are you so blinded by what you learn from men that you cannot see that they are clearly saying the same thing? Baptize them in the name of Jesus. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, I have all authority in heaven and in earth? Now go baptize them in the name. Who do you think wrote down what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19? I'd rather do what Jesus said. Who do you think wrote what Jesus said down? Did Matthew have one idea and Peter have another idea and Jesus have another? be baptized in the name of Jesus came just a week after this great commission in Matthew 28:19. Did he forget? Did he get his wires crossed? You know what our current president says? Come on, man! If you weren't baptized into Jesus, then what were you baptized into? Ask yourself that question. If you weren't baptized into Jesus, then what were you baptized into? Well, I thought it was real. Thinking it's real doesn't make it real. The question even came up when the Catholic Church officially changed the baptismal formula. Wait, what? Well, when you get to read what the Bible says, you can look at a little history. The Catholic Church changed the baptismal formula.
Yes, they did.
And not only did they change the formula, but they started sprinkling and pouring, and they stopped using the name of Jesus and started using this other formula. Up until then, for about 300 years, all believers were baptized. Guess what?
In the name of Jesus.
The Catholic Church decided that their baptism was effective because when you proclaim your faith in Jesus, and so they came to this new conclusion, and so they all the scholars and intellectuals got together. Let me tell you something, even when you got to have a symposium of scholars and intellectuals to make you understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, I can guarantee you there ain't nothing coming out of that. Amen. That Jesus has been already taken care of on the cross of Calvary. And so then the Catholic Church had a situation. What are they going to do with all the people who had already been baptized into Jesus? Because there's a transition moment. These people are baptized into Jesus, but our scholars are telling us we need to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy. What are we going to do with these folks? Well, the Catholic Church said, don't worry about it. Their baptism was effective. And they say, because when you say Jesus, you are proclaiming your faith in the Father as well. And a lot of people today are confused by this. Why didn't Jesus just say it like that in the first place? Why didn't he just say, in the name of Jesus? But as I said earlier, that would have been out of character for Jesus to say it that way. He always referred everything back to the Father. All he said and did was under instruction and in honor of his Father. And he even declared that he had come in his Father's name. And so it's only natural for him to say it like that instead of being more direct. As if saying, baptize them in the name is not direct enough. And he said it this way to remind people that there was a greater power behind him. That there was one greater who had sent him. That there was one living in him who was so great, hallelujah, that there was one working behind the scenes to make salvation possible for everyone. And Jesus could not say it exactly that way because it would have ruined his entire ministry. And he stayed under subjection and obedience, but he directed them to the name.
Yes.
And so many are baptized now avoiding the name of Jesus altogether. Hallelujah. And so many are baptized, quote unquote, but they even avoid immersion in water and opt for the easier sprinkler system. Well, hallelujah. Takes me 700 gallons of water to baptize one person. But I've got a preacher friend in Fairfield. He can baptize dozens of people with this one bottle of water right here. Well, that's eco-friendly baptism right there. Hallelujah. We can save the planet. Go home and take a shower this afternoon. And I want you to just sprinkle yourself.
Let's see how you get, right?
But don't come around me next week, okay? With your water spots. We need to get back to the old formula.
Amen.
We need to get back to committing ourselves to being totally whelmed, immersed into Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you haven't been baptized, then what are you really committed to? If you weren't baptized into Jesus, then what were you baptized into? If you were baptized but you didn't come up out of the waters of commitment fully sold out, then all you did was put on a show. I don't ever get in a hurry to baptize people. And I don't believe in dragging your feet either. But I've been around for a few decades. And I've seen people come in off the streets. And I'm not going to say I know the will of God and the mind of God and everything else. But I've seen them come in here and jump up into altars and raise their hands and pray, quote unquote. And climb up in the waters in a baptistry tank. And then last week I see them walking down the street. High as a kite. Drunk as a skunk. Lost as the devil. And the evangelist said, if you don't baptize them, I will. I'll jump in this tank with my suit on in baptism. I should have let him do it. Go ahead, you baptize him. I ain't never seen him before. And they ain't never darkened the door since. I'm not saying I know the will of God and the mind of God, but I happen to know that man had been baptized already before. Baptism is not a magic solution. The name of Jesus is not a magic cure. Baptism is a commitment.
Yes.
Simon the magician did that in Acts chapter 8. I got Bible for this, folks. So I don't want to get up here and spout my opinions, and I know that I do that first, but then I bring the Bible in later just to let you know that I'm telling you the truth. In Acts chapter 8, he was baptized by Philip, but he was fake. And his baptism was a fake baptism. And he was baptized with everybody else, but he did not come out of the water changed. He was immersed in water, but his commitment was never sincere. He went down a sinner and came up a sinner. He wasn't truly buried in Christ. He was buried in himself. He did it for show. He did it to manipulate and make people think he was on board with the new spiritual powers in Samaria. If you're not buried in the waters of baptism in Christ and with Christ, then all you did was get wet. If you don't go down in the waters of commitment and come up fully sold out to Jesus, then all you did was put on a show for the church. All you did was assuage people's opinions of you and make people think you're saved. All you did was give the appearance of being righteous and holy. But confession without commitment is counterfeit. And repentance without baptism into Jesus isn't real. It's a fake turn of events. What God is looking for is complete and total allegiance. In Matthew 19, Peter said to Jesus, "We have given up all to follow you." Is there any other way to follow Jesus?
That's right.
What have you given up to follow Jesus? What have you sacrificed from your old life to follow Jesus? This is a thought that's really bothering me, because I'm not worried that so much about where you're at, but I'm worried about where I'm at half the time. How can I get myself where I see I need to be, but I can't seem to reach that plane? What is wrong with my faith? What is wrong with my concept of God? What is wrong with my approach to God? What lie, what garbage, what junk theology is down in my soul that is throwing a little foot out when I walk by and making me fall on my face time and time again? I'm re-examining my commitments. I'm re-examining my faith because I want to be all in with God. I want to give up everything from the old life and everything that is new to come to me. I'm tired of waiting for the new to come and waiting for the old to go. I think the problem isn't with God. I don't think it's with the Word of God. I don't think it's with the Spirit of God. But I think the problem is with my faith. It's
all right.
What have I sacrificed? What have I thrown away? What have I refused to ever do again so that I might identify with Jesus How much of the old life am I still carrying around? It's time for me to bury that stuff.
Amen.
Yeah, but what if I give up everything to follow Jesus? Then what? Well, we have a list of things we cannot live without. Jesus is rarely on that list. We're so worried about what we have to give up. The church today is worldly, gluttonous, and blinded by wealth and carnality, asleep and naked. It's time to make the shift in our affections. Now, I might be able to find one more gold star here. But do we really think that God will take everything from us and then leave us desolate? In Matthew 19, 27, 28, and 29, then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Hallelujah. Come on, you got to give it all up, friends. Amen. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, go into all the world and baptize them and make disciples. Get them committed, amen, to the gospel. Get them committed to the Word of God. Get them committed to prayer. Get them committed to the Bible. Get them committed to witnessing. Get them committed to worship. Get them committed to me. Hallelujah. They will turn the world upside down. They will bring the kingdom of light against the darkness. And the banners of the name of Jesus will unfurl as we glorify God by giving our all to Him. And then Jesus said to them in Matthew 19, 28, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Well, isn't that nice? Too bad there's only 12. Don't worry. Jesus didn't leave us out. And He goes on in verse 29, and He said, "And everyone," say that with me, "everyone, and everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for My name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, cool. What does that mean? When we commit ourselves and we give up everything. Why do you think I'm here in Fairfield, Illinois? Would you think I'd rather be living 30 minutes from the Grand Canyon? Don't you think I'd rather be living in a chalet at the base of a snow-capped mountain? Don't you think I'd rather live in a wonderful cabin where I can walk out my front door and down my driveway and step onto the Appalachian Trail and take Saturday afternoon and go hike over a couple of mountains? Why on God's green earth, little Christian cuss there for you, why on God's green earth would I be in Fairfield Flat, Illinois, a dying, going nowhere town, I'm not complaining today, but I'm helping you understand something. Repent and be committed into burial in the waters with Jesus. 100-fold? Well, if you're not a math major, you probably think that 100-fold is 100% increase. Sister Lois? Is that true? No. If you have one, and you multiply, and God multiplies that to two, how many fold is that? It's twofold. If you have one and God makes it two, then it's twofold. And if you have two and then He makes it four, that's threefold. And if you have four and then He makes it eight, that's fourfold. And if you have eight and make it 16, that's fivefold. And if you have 16 and make it 32, that's sixfold. You know what 100-fold is? Neither do I. You don't know what it is, and you couldn't pronounce it if you did know what it was. Because it's literally in the nano something quart something million billion trillion. It's not billions, it's not millions, it's not trillions, it's not quadrillions, it's nano. I can't imagine what Isaac must have thought when he planted his crops and they brought forth 100-fold that first year. Some people say 100-fold is 10,000% increase. It's actually much, much greater. What in the world? No one who gives up everything for me is going to be left. David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I have never seen the children begging bread. But I don't know. Give more of yourself. Give the last little bit that you have. Give everything that you've got. Because God's going to give you so much more. Amen. The Bible says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us when Jesus steps back into the atmosphere of the earth again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You are storing up treasures. Hallelujah. You are storing up treasures. And what are you worried about giving up? Eternal life? It's time for us to make the shift in our affections. It's time to set our affections on things above. It's time to dive into our relationship with Jesus. It's time to give Him all we have. Amen. Churches are full of people who want to be saved and they want to make it to heaven, but none of them want to be disciples of Jesus. They're committed to their own salvation, or so they think, but they're not committed to being lights in the community. They're not committed to serving the King of Kings. They worship every once in a while on the occasional Sunday, and you'll find them on Sunday evening at Walmart cussing out the clerk at the service desk. Hallelujah, you'll find them here, you'll find them there. Where is the commitment? Where is the baptism? We went down with Jesus, and we came up in new. It's time to start living, amen, the life that God and His Son Jesus died for us to live. Let's stand together right now. Hallelujah. They want to do as little as possible. They want to keep their own lives and their own ways and stick to their own habits and patterns. They want to still pursue their own goals and pursuits, but that's not what following Jesus means. You're either all in or you're not in at all. You've got to be baptized. You've got to be immersed. You've got to be soaked to the gills from head to toe. You've got to be dipped under and covered in the blood of Jesus. Brother Gilbert, you've got to be 100% totally committed, completely submitted, and divinely activated. Hallelujah. Until there is not only less of me, but till there is nothing left of me. And the more of me I empty out, the more room I make for God to fill me up. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. I was not expecting to feel such a move of God. The holiday hangover is still real. We just got done with Thanksgiving and time to boggle our minds with Christmas shopping and all the holidays. Sometimes it's just hard to get back into routine during the holidays. I was not expecting God to move like this today. I wasn't expecting the anointing to rest on me today. But the anointing doesn't come from how spiritual I am. Comes from how much He loves us. It's not because I'm a great preacher or because I'm such a holy man. It's because God loves this church. He loves the people in this church. He loves me and He loves you. He's calling us. To the love we had in the first. I remember when I first got saved. Oh my God. It was amazing. For 3 weeks. Fighting to get back to those first 3 weeks. Because that was free. Complete, totally free and committed. I was telling my friends about Jesus. Of course, they was all looking at me cross-eyed. I was so in love with Him in that moment. Let's bow our heads together today. Let's pray and talk to the Lord. Lead us into greater commitment. Show us the pointlessness of hanging on to the things that we hang on to from the old life. And let us, piece by piece, thought by thought, experience by experience, baptize one thing after another in Jesus until everything is new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Until everything is new. Until grace.